California's $68 billion high-speed rail project ran into a rough stretch of track late last year with court rulings that cast serious doubt about the project's business plan and construction timeline. Now, with the start of the new year and Governor Brown's new budget about to be released later this week in advance of his State of the State address, we thought we'd take a look at just where the project stands right now. Joining us to talk about the bullet train is reporter Tim Sheehan of the Fresno Bee. He's been covering high-speed rail for several years now. Tim, welcome.
Thank you very much.
News broke this past weekend about Governor Brown's plan to use money from the state's cap-and-trade carbon offset fee system for high-speed rail. This itself isn't new. It was first raised back in early 2012 when the Rail Authority revised its business plan.
Right.
But back then, people in Sacramento were calling it a backstop, sort of a last resort. What's changed, and what does this really mean when we're talking about cap-and-trade and high-speed rail?
Well, it's gone now. It seems to be going now from being a backstop to being plan A. A lot of that is predicated upon the continued reluctance of a Republican-controlled Congress to allocate any more money toward this. Another piece of it also is, I think, some of the bond rulings that were made late last year that you referred to, the judge's ruling that the state can't use any of the bond funds until they accomplish certain other pieces that they need to do that they hadn't done so far.
Now, there are various voices out there. Some are big supporters of the AB 32 protocol that are raising some questions. There are some who are opponents of high-speed rail entirely. They are also raising questions about this and have been since it first was broached in 2012, mm-hmm. that the whole point of AB 32 was to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 1990 levels by the year 2020 mm-hmm. by establishing a market for CO2 emissions, CO2 credits. Mm-hmm. Big polluters would have a cap on their emissions. If they wanted to pollute more than that, they would buy credits on the market.
Right.
Many critics, though, have pointed out that with using that money for high-speed rail, there's a problem in that the first big stretch from Merced to Southern California isn't going to be actually operational until 2022 at the earliest.
Right.
Is that something that is also being discussed? Is that an issue of contention?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it will be, too. If nothing else, it's likely to be a source of litigation at some point. If the governor does indeed propose that and the legislature moves toward it, then it could very well be a source of litigation. It could also very well be a source of contention within the legislature itself. Because if we recall, when the legislature approved the initial appropriation of money for high-speed rail, it was a one-vote margin. And so I think that particular question could very well arise in the debates over the budget.
Back when the issue first came to California voters in 2008, one of the things that supporters of high-speed rail said was, well, we're going to ask the voters of California for this money in a bond measure. We're going to get federal money, but we're also going to have private support.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a lot about that private support, what the plan is to getting that private investment into this system in some time, really since this new business plan was released in early 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that stand? Is that still in the cards for high-speed rail? Are they still counting on that moving forward?
It's still in the business plan. I think they're still counting on it. I think the form of it is – remains a huge question mark for what form that private investment would take. In conversations I've had with high-speed rail folks, they have talked about the prospect of generating private revenue through leasing right-of-way for such things as communication corridors, fiber optics, things like that, which were part of the picture in Spain's high-speed rail. I think they're also anticipating some revenue from franchises. Now, to the extent that that represents investment in the system and seeking any sort of return on that investment, I think you get into a picture of semantics at that point as to whether that represents money coming into the project or whether it simply represents doing business.
We're talking with reporter Tim Sheehan of the Fresno Bee about California's high-speed rail system. We mentioned a moment ago some rulings came out late mm-hmm. last year. I want to talk specifically about the repercussions from the rulings by Superior Court Judge Michael Kenney, who ruled the authority isn't in compliance with the law passed by voters,
mm-hmm.
mainly having all of the funding secured before the first stretch of construction and then having environmental approvals mm-hmm. done before the construction begins.
Right.
Those were pretty serious issues that came up
oh,
in
definitely.
Judge Kenney's courtroom. Where does the Rail Authority stand at addressing those?
At this point, the Rail Authority says that it is trying to address them. They anticipate – trying to come up with a new funding plan, which was the part that that Judge Kinney found deficient. I think they're trying to get something along those lines resubmitted early this year. Now, what is early this year? That's anybody's guess, because timelines on this project seem to shift as moment to moment. Presumably, this cap and trade proposal that the governor may be making in his budget may be part of the source of that funding that they would be identifying. The other piece in terms of the environmental compliance, that is going to be another major chunk, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to overcome that, because so far we still only have Merced to Fresno as the only certified environmental clearance. And that's absent a chunk around the Chowchilla area where there would be a junction for a branch to head off toward the San Jose area. There's still Fresno to Bakersfield that has to be done. There's still Bakersfield to Palmdale and Palmdale to the San Fernando Valley. These things do not happen quickly, these certifications and these environmental impact reports. So I think that probably remains the biggest stumbling block if the judge holds tight to his reliance that he's had in the past on the plain language of Proposition 1A, which seemed to require those environmental certifications before they can move forward with spending any bond funds.
The next issue that's before a judge is this issue about whether the current blended approach that the Rail Authority is planning, using some existing rail tracks in Southern and Northern California, upgrading them for high-speed rail and merging them with the new track that's being built in the valley, whether this can actually meet the mandate that voters approved in 2008, mm-hmm. that the trip from LA to San Francisco takes 2 hours and 40 minutes or no more than that.
Right.
What are you hearing on that front? Is this something that is subject to interpretation, or is this kind of a hard and fast thing that black and white, there is a way?
I think it's going to be subject to interpretation. It's impossible to prove a negative, but you can have your experts take a best guess at it. And what the plaintiffs from Kings County in this lawsuit have put forth a cadre of experts that basically all say it can't be done. And you've had the Rail Authority, which has basically said, yes, it can, but they haven't put out a whole lot of expertise in terms of the court briefs so far. So it's going to be interesting to see if and when this piece comes to trial, how it goes. So it's going to be whose experts are more credible in that.
You talk to people on both sides of this issue, from the folks in Kings County who are mm-hmm. leading this fight against the Rail Authority to the backers of the project and the Rail Authority mm-hmm. folks themselves. What's your take on the temperature of the situation right now? Did the rulings embolden the project opponents?
Oh, definitely. The project opponents have seized upon these rulings as major stumbling blocks, as crucial hits to the program. The project opponents have said, we can deal with it. We can handle this. It's not a big deal. And some of the critics have said they're whistling past the graveyard in terms of this, whether it's denial or whether it's perpetual optimism or whether it's realistic optimism. Yeah, there's always a shot in court that the judge may say, I think it can be done in 2 hours 40. And whether the Rail Authority can come up with plans, a finance plan that passes the judge's muster, they seem confident. The opponents say, we're not confident at all. We don't think they can do it. And to that extent, the opponents are confident that they've got this thing on the ropes.
What about the political temperature of this right now? Are you seeing any shifts there? We are entering an election year. This is always an interesting time to pay attention to politicians' responses to controversial issues. And certainly mm-hmm. Polls have showed that statewide voters are more skeptical of high-speed rail now than they were, say, a few years ago.
Right.
As the price tag has escalated, as other difficulties have come up. Is there a potential for any political shifts here with this issue?
It's times like this that I wish I was closer tied into Sacramento, that I wish I was up in Sacramento reporting instead of down here in Fresno. You get the sense from listening to from reading the accounts of legislators who were interviewed on this subject by other reporters that there may be a shift. But a lot of the legislators that I've seen interviewed are people that voted against it in the first place. So I've not seen any shifts of people who are supporters. Yet. That's not to say that we won't see that, because this is a hot political potato, and hot political potatoes can get even hotter in an election year.
before we go, the issue of groundbreaking and timelines comes up again. If we had this conversation, I think we did about a year ago.
We did, yes.
We were talking about having a groundbreaking sometime in summer of 2013, and then that mm-hmm. got pushed off into the fall or late in the year.
Exactly.
And then it was most recently at the end of last year, we were told, well, January or February, there will mm-hmm. probably be some groundbreaking ceremony taking place. Is that now in doubt?
It seems to be, because every time I ask the rail authority folks, when are we going to have a groundbreaking? They just kind of – they dodge the question now. What the line is now out of the rail authority in Sacramento is, well, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on. We've got things going to get ready for actual construction. For instance, last month there was an engineering company that was doing soil borings here in Fresno, basically testing the structure of the soil in key areas where new structures would be. The rail authority points to that as tangible evidence, not necessarily construction, but tangible work that's going on to advance toward. We also see what seem to be baby steps toward the acquisition of property. Last month, the rail authority went to the Public Works Board up in Sacramento, and the Public Works Board authorized the use of eminent domain to acquire the first piece of property here in the Fresno area that is not a willing seller. Next week, there is another one, another piece of property on the Public Works Board's agenda. And the rail authority has indicated that it anticipates more of those coming forward as they work through the process of trying to negotiate with owners up and down the route. And as owners don't reach agreement, then those will come to be eminent domain cases.
It was a very interesting story, and it takes more twists and turns for a high-speed rail track. You think it would be
Indeed.
Nice and straight, but it's quite windy and curvy.
Indeed.
Again, Tim Sheehan with the Fresno Bee. He is reporting on the ups and downs of California's high-speed rail project. We'll find out more about the governor's plans later this week when he releases his budget on Friday. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Valley Edition on Valley Public Radio.